I think if also, you just put up wallpaper together at least once a year, then you'll always have a strong relationship.
That's true.
We started our day by putting up wallpaper in our bedroom together.
We did a great job.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's definitely a two-person task. Yeah. It is not a one-person task.
But at the beginning, on the first couple sheets, we were a little like, no, I need you to do this.
Very much,
but then we figured it out, how to work together, not get in each other's way, but be helpful.
It was a very successful and invigorating experience. Now, that's a nice metaphor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like putting up wallpaper.
Marriages
are like putting up wallpaper. You got to figure out how to do it at first, but by the end, you're not even looking at each other.
And then you make out.
Hi, I'm Julia Meltzer. Welcome to Honey. This week's episode is David and Becca. They're so sweet. They're so fun. And they're so crazy because they got engaged after dating for 1 month. So obviously I can't help but like ask them a lot about that. And the answer is basically they just loved each other so, so much. So it's a little cute. Yes, a little cute. But then their fight is actually really interesting. And it's fascinating to hear a couple that is still relatively new but also fully committed talk about how they learn to fight with each other. If you're enjoying Honey, like us on Facebook, rate and review on iTunes, tell a friend about Honey, and have a great day. Here we go.
Honey, 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 come home, 'cause we've got things to talk about. I've been sitting here on my own, and I think we can work it out. Honey, 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 come home, 'cause I think we can work it out.
You already pressed record.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, we're just jumping right in. We're not going to write the whole thing ahead of time.
I wrote it all down.
You wrote it down.
Here's everybody's
scripts.
You have
your script? Yeah. Uh-huh. Pass out your script.
Perfect.
Does everyone have their script
ready?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ready? I only have sides, small sides.
They're very small. They're 1 inch tall.
Size. Interior. Becca and David's house. Day. Hi, guys. Welcome to Honey.
Thanks.
Hi.
Thanks for having us here.
Married people?
We're married now.
We're married.
How long have you been married?
6 months. Five and a half months.
Wow. Yeah. It's August to September, October, November, December, January, February.
That's six?
That's six whole months.
Oh my gosh. And the 12th was our sixth.
Oh crap. We didn't do anything.
We didn't do anything. It's okay.
Do you usually do like,
well, here's the
anniversary
thing.
Type stuff?
We haven't been together that long in the grand scheme of the world.
How long have you been together?
2 years.
Mm-hmm. 2 years since March. We got engaged 2 years ago, April.
Yeah. So
you got engaged
one month after we met.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people thought it was a bit because we're both in the improv community.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a bit.
Why did you get engaged 1 month after you met?
Do you want to tell the real story or the fake story?
No, the real story.
Tell both. What's the fake story?
What is the fake story?
We just knew right away.
Yeah, but I think that's the real story, but then there's like a more elaborate, crazy, over-the-top real story.
So, the day was April 20th.
420.
And
listeners, I was doing cool guy hands.
Sipper dude finger wave.
Hang 10 fingers.
Do you
so
want to start?
I was doing the UCB 420 improv show.
Mm-hmm.
And I smoke, not anymore because of some other story that I won't go into right now. But
cool, maybe later. We don't know.
We'll see how much time we have. So I was part of the 420 show that day, and Becca and I had been dating for like a month.
But he said, I love you after 2 weeks.
Yeah, we were pretty hot and heavy pretty quickly.
I called my sister and said, I'm going to have this guy's babies.
Yeah, and Becca's not...
Do you say that a lot, though?
I've never said that before.
Okay, cool. Some people say that a lot. You know what I'm saying?
I'd never said it.
You were like, I know, you were literal about it.
Yeah, and that was after our third date.
Yeah, I was head over heels for this girl, and after the third date, we were just hanging out every single day.
Oh, how did you meet? Doing improv?
No. We met in a production office. You tell it.
I was producing a small commercial for a buddy of mine who has a small production company, and he had to jump off on a different project, so I was filling in to produce this commercial, and it was super easy, and I'd just come from like making this blood, sweat, and tears pilot, and I wasn't really making any money, so I was like really happy to have a consistent thing that paid well, and it was great. And I had this, it was one day shoot, but I had like a 2 week wrap out or 3 week route. It was crazy. And I was taking my sweet ass time doing it. And Becca was hired by the company, by one of our really good mutual friends now, to just be a PA for the day and come in. And
what had happened was she asked me after our production had wrapped to come in. It had been a web series about children making cakes, and there was a lot of craft supplies.
Right. I'm so also, glad we have that on the internet. Oh, yeah.
That's there forever.
We need lots of different types of stuff on the internet, it seems. We sure like. Do. Can't stop. Can't, gotta always make more different things. Okay.
Exactly.
Go on.
I think it was for Bon Appetit magazine or something. They wanted a web series about kids making cakes. And so the next day, she was like, do you want to come in and I'll pay you to work for a couple hours and just come sort feathers into different containers? I don't, there's a lot of craft supplies here. So I was just sitting on the floor counting feathers and little stickers and putting them in different jars and sort of singing to myself and being weird.
Being adorable is what she means by being weird.
Okay,
you guys
are
going
to have to stop. This is a podcast about fighting.
Right.
But
we'll
I'm
try.
So intrigued.
We might
by
be
so,
the anomaly.
Long story short was, long story medium, I guess. she was being like really cute and adorable, and I was really, really wanted to like get her number and ask her out, but the whole production company is in one room.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not about to just like ask a PA out and
what
get her number.
What is that supposed to mean?
What I that's so crazy. That'd be so awkward, like in front of a group of people.
Yeah, it's not
I
because
agree.
I'm a PA though.
During yeah, but anyone.
No, just anyone.
So I
think it was all a little bit like, not that a PA is beneath him, but like it's weird because you're like her boss, kind of.
Well, no, not directly, but it was more. She was only there for the day, you know, so it's obvious that I'm going, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to seem like you're, like, on the prowl at work.
And it's not like
sure.
work environment, maybe if you, like, know someone for a couple weeks and you guys have a cool vibe, then you can ask for the number and figure something out. It's like, oh, she's here for 3 hours.
Yeah.
I'm immediately going to gun for her and get her number.
Okay. So it's all moving very fast. That's the pattern. Okay.
So I Facebook friended her that night, but I was not Facebook friends with anybody else in the office at that point. So I immediately Facebook friended like three other people.
Smart.
To try to make it
I
look
think that's
not awkward.
Good.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
That was a smart move because I only friend people with mutual friends. So.
Ah, but you knew, I think she knew what my angle was, and I immediately asked her out via Facebook message, and we went out, and the first date was, the beginning of it was really awkward because I was very nervous.
So incredibly nervous.
And then the later part of the date got better, and then we went on a second date and a third, and everything fell
in place.
And then
the third date, you said, I love you.
Maybe.
No, you looked into my eyes, and you told me that you, all right, how I phrased it was I asked what went wrong in your previous relationship, and you said, I didn't see the end game in her eyes, but I see it in yours.
Oh my God, look at me.
Are you guys real?
Wow, that's crazy.
Okay. Okay, so you're in, so fast forward
to 420.
To 420, which is 2 weeks after this. I see the end game in your eyes.
Well, I didn't want to be rude looking at my phone, but I was looking to see, I thought I had taken a screenshot of the first text you sent me after our first date, first kiss, and you said, whatever you're selling, I'm buying. I am on board. I am in this.
Oh,
after
man.
We just went on this one date and kissed, and I was like,
what possessed you to do that?
It just felt right at the time.
And I guess you were right to do that.
I feel, no regrets. That was amazing. Everything has worked out very well.
And if anybody listening to this ends up going on a first date with me, do not do that. I will be freaked out.
I was like, I gotta go. Stop it.
Okay.
So 420.
420.
Stone Show.
UCB.
Hang 10 fingers.
So you do a non-stoned show, and then you go smoke up, and then you do another show. And I hadn't smoked that much in a while, and they gave us like a group of 5 or 6 people this incredibly strong keef rolled joint that was a pre-rolled thing from, you know, one of those shops. And we kept on smoking it, but I guess like the high caught up after kept on, like we all took like 5 hits or something. And everyone in the group, besides just like one guy who like took one hit and then like left. And
he knew what he was doing.
I think he knew what he was doing. And everybody else just kept smoking this thing. And then right before the show, we were, as a group, we were all so high. And most people were like, oh my God, I don't know if I can do the show. And then once there was any sort of doubt about that, I was the highest. Everyone was super high, but I was by far the highest.
How do you
can
know?
I tell you what I'll tell you how I know.
Oh my God. So yeah, anyone that was at that show knows that I was the highest.
It was a sparsely populated audience, so low stakes. But I showed up after the first set. I missed the sober set and saw the stoned one. And you came on stage. Everybody was on the back line. And after the scene started, you just started staring at your hands on the back line.
Yeah, I was not in the scene at all.
Not watching the scene in front of you, just staring at your hands. I imagine contemplating existence.
Oh, big time.
And then someone saw this who was in the scene and they pulled him in and they were like, what's wrong with this guy, huh? In the office or wherever they put it. They were like, yeah, this guy in the office, he's just staring at his hands. And then you started marching in a circle.
I remember marching in a circle.
And then you kept marching in a circle, and they were making a bit of the fact that you were just doing this one thing over and over. And then they swiped the scene, which means the scene ends and everyone resets. But David kept marching in a circle.
Because from the vague memories of being in that mindset, I was like, this is a strong commitment. I'm just going to keep on doing this thing. But it was the only thing that I could. I was so high that you can only really pinpoint one thing at a time and like focus on one thing.
Can I tell you guys, I have no idea how this ends and you getting engaged.
Okay, well, sure. So anyway, we don't have to get into the craziness of that show.
That was basically the show.
But I was super, super, super high. And the whole thing, like the whole set was how high I was because I was out of my mind fucking batshit crazy. And then afterwards, I didn't even want to go talk to anyone. Like I couldn't interact with people because it was the world was terrifying. And I was texting Becca, but I couldn't even like text very well.
I went to find him because I figured he was just huddled in a corner somewhere, helpless.
When she found me, I was in the middle of writing a text to her. But I couldn't
finish.
Been going
on for 15 minutes?
Yeah, I've been like trying to text her for like 15 minutes and trying to tell her I just got to go home. And I lived 2 blocks away from UCB Sunset at that time. So it wasn't hard to get there. So, but Becca luckily found me.
I could not have walked home by yourself.
I had to walk two blocks because every person on the street, I was sure, was like a cop or the devil or, you know, some weird existential / you know, I'm going to jail forever combination. And I couldn't even get. So Becca took me home. I couldn't even get into the front door because like my hand, like I couldn't get the
those
keys
hands
into the locks.
You hadn't figured them out. You started
be
marching before you figured out your hands.
So, okay, super high, exactly. Super, super, super high. We got back to my apartment and then everything, because there was less people there and I wasn't like on a stage performing anymore, it was a lot more sane and I was coming down quite a bit.
I think the way you see the world when you're stoned is very much what is our place in the universe, and you get very philosophical and you started talking about how the only reason to exist is one another. And at this point I was crying because you were saying beautiful things and I had found weed in your apartment so I could be a little bit more on your level.
But this was, it wasn't immediately when we got home and I'm me still, it was like an hour, a couple hours afterwards where I'm coming out of my craziness, but I am being very, very philosophical and I see the world when I'm high in terms of symbolic meaning within everything that everyone does ever. And so for me, everything kind of like crystallized. And a big point was when Becca found me in my state of craziness and morbid, you know, worried about everything in the world, I saw her as this like angel of light that would somehow be able to be like the one thing that I could like trust and count on.
It was like a sad little lost baby bear or something.
Are you guys making this up?
No, there were several people there that night.
The way she was, you like, looked at me.
Okay, so she was an angel.
Yeah, she was like an angel.
I remember seeing that look in his eyes when he looked up at me like, you're my savior.
And when he needed you to be here.
So stoned.
So, but later that night, I got very, what would you say emotional. The word is? Emotional and philosophical, and made a lot of pronouncements. And one of them was, we should get married. Will you marry me?
But then he asked like 5 more times, and then he reproposed totally sober in the morning,
yeah,
and got down on one knee and gave a speech that I don't remember any of, but it was beautiful. And then proceeded to ask me again to double and triple and quadruple check like every day for the next 6 months.
Yeah.
My jaw is dropped.
Yeah, craziness. I think so. There's
so about fights.
So there's that story, but I think the honest part of it too, of like why that all happened to happen, is that we're both the type of people that are whimsical
and impulsive
and kind of like up for something fun and exciting. And I think we were both independently, without talking about it, like looking for a serious committed relationship, but not ever found exactly the right person at the right time. And so when all these things kind of came at the same time.
Well, that for me, when we met, I had been 1 month out of a 4-year relationship,
yeah,
and
Jesus.
Said, I'm never going to date anyone again. I'm going to be single for at least 6 months. And okay, not date ever again. I said, I need to be single for a while. And when we met, I told
that
you that.
That happens a lot.
Mm-hmm. Because you make ultimatums.
Yeah.
But then I met David, and you've heard the stories already of how can you say no to that puppy face that you're making at me right
what
now?
What does your ex-boyfriend think about? That would be so wild if you broke up with someone and like a month later they were engaged.
Yeah.
Especially if at the time your ex is your boss, which was the situation.
Becca!
I know, it's so ridiculous.
Jesus!
He has a wonderful girlfriend, and they've been dating about the same time since David and I met. So we're actually friends and it's cool.
Is he still your boss?
No.
You dated your boss for 4 years?
Well, no. He and I had a production company together, and then we both started working for the same company together, but he was technically higher ranked than me.
Okay.
And then after we broke up, we both continued working there for like 6 months.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was weird for David.
Yeah, totally. I mean, because it was just like a weird situation.
Well, I think you used to have jealousy issues that you no longer have.
Yeah, I think that that's true.
And I blame your college girlfriend.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Abigail, if you're listening to this podcast, fuck you.
This is the second podcast I've done about this woman.
Abigail, I know nothing about you. I do you, girl.
Do you? Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
But anyway, so what, you had jealousy issues?
Yeah. I mean, I had some long from years back and different like jealousy stuff. But like it wasn't crazy bad at this point, but it is a weird and intense situation to be a month out of a 4-year long relationship and then to be committing so hard to a new, seriously long-term relationship. So there, I was always a little bit like, oh man, this is a thing.
Yeah.
What do you mean this is a thing?
You didn't want to be the rebound.
I didn't want to be the rebound.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I also
wanted to... But you weren't.
There
were some in there.
Right. Okay.
We got to give something interesting to the listeners.
That's true. That's very true.
You guys are very interesting. Don't worry about it. I mean, keep giving me the interesting stuff. I love it. But come on. This is wild. This is just wild. Okay. It's a thing because you didn't want to be the rebound. And so you were having
feelings
about that.
Becca, even, you know, a month later when we first started dating and being, you know, we got engaged so quickly, she was kind of already immediately like, oh, yeah, no, I'm just like friends with him again. And I was like, I was always pushing you to give it some space because no person is completely over a relationship that's 4 years long after a month.
Well, the thing about that in particular was that I think we both knew for a while. I was mentally preparing myself for a while.
You
and
were,
so
but
when
was he?
No.
So at this point, I was kind of pushing of, let's just be cognizant of like how fresh this is and how big of a commitment us getting married is, and you have to see and connect with this guy every day. Like, now it's totally fine. But at that early stage of we were engaged for like a month in, and it was only 2 months since you'd lived with somebody else, like that, I was like, maybe don't, you know.
I kept the engagement secret for a while because of that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to, you know, be cruel.
Yeah, but I think that was probably smart.
How long did you keep it secret for?
Well, until I met up with my ex to have like a heart to heart and let him know before I put it out there publicly, because I respect him as a person. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Why are you asking me?" But also, I know that he was glad I did. I mean,
what were you asking him?
Well, I think he asked me to have a conversation, and he had been telling me about the crazy relationship thing with another woman that had happened to him in the past month. So it was like totally okay for me to be like, "So I'm engaged. Is that cool if I tell people about it at the office?" And it all worked out.
Because you're still working with him and seeing him every day.
So I wanted to be respectful.
Yeah.
Did his crazy relationship thing even compare to getting engaged?
It was crazier.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I don't want to share it because...
You put me in touch with them.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. So was this like, as you were communicating this whatever, we need to be delicate about this situation, did that create conflict?
No. David Not and I really. Have had 1.5 fights in our 2 years
We've
together.
We've had a few fights.
But we have very communicative discussions about our feelings.
Some people call that a fight.
Oh, no. I think that we have good talks and everything, but sometimes like we'll have to pull out a discussion that like... I can tell that you've been kind of upset about something, but you don't want to talk about it.
Well, and then, David is very good at this, and I am not. So he makes me be better about it, because I like to bury my upset feelings. Like, I assume most people do.
That's why you have rugs, you know?
Different
strokes.
Yeah.
That's why you have rugs?
Yeah, to sweep things under them. We've only had, like, a few actual fights of any kind. And
I remember the one.
The one? Yeah. We also had that one about the podcast. Remember when I was like finished my podcast and I wanted you to listen to it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Tell me about the first one.
Okay. Here we go. Because this is the one where I don't think that I was wrong. But okay.
Sunday. I remember because people were coming over to watch Game of Thrones later that day.
Yeah, completely.
And we like to play board games with our roommates, and we were living at our old place, and we were playing a game called Epic Spell Wars, where everybody is a wizard and you have to lay down a spell in three parts and read out the three parts of the spell in a funny voice. And I'm very particular about games. I'm very type A. I think you got to follow the rules to a T. And I'll just, in a kind and polite way that's maybe a little assertive, I'll tell people when they're not following the rules exactly.
Sure.
And one time I said, "David, no, you can't do your cards out of order. You have to do this one, and then this one." And you go, "I'm not going to yell into the mic. I know how to play the game. Don't tell me what to do," or something like that. And that was
you
our
just
biggest
like
fight.
Popped.
And then, but then I said, and I said, "Fuck you! Don't be mean to me."
Did you really say "fuck you"?
I did.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes. So maybe I escalated it.
So here's my. Memory of it that is a slightly different than yours, and I'm gonna do this delicately because everything's fine.
David's really worried that us talking about this particular board game scenario,
because this is the one that we have just completely different memories of what happened.
Well, but your friends were there, right?
Uh-huh.
What do they think?
Amy, our roommate, who's in that room right there.
We can bring her out.
Bring her out. Well, then we're going to talk to Amy.
So we were playing this game, and Becca is very right that there was like this one card that it was a confusing card, and it kind of said you should mimic this other card. And so we were playing it in a certain order, but Becca was, I think you were right in thinking like if you're doing it by the T, you should play this card before you play other cards. However, Amy, who had played this thing as well, she had gotten this card in the past, and she had already played it a certain way. So I was only...
I felt bad correcting her, and I didn't feel bad correcting you.
But so I was just, like, playing it in the way that we had been playing it.
Because it was the mimic thing.
Because it was the mimic of whatever. So, and okay. Also, my overall thing was, we're playing this stupid, silly game about wizards, and it doesn't matter.
It matters.
Right. So, and I was as, and I'm sorry that you remember me like super yelling at you, but I remember being like jokingly like, I'm going to do it my way. And like a joking over the top thing.
Uh-huh.
And, but I was just like, because Becca was super insistent about this. And I was just like, Becca, I'm going to do it this way. Like we've already done it this way. I'm going to do it this way. And then Becca blew up and started crying and yelling at me.
Because he snapped at me, and he'd never snapped at me before, and I didn't like it.
In my mind, I didn't snap. I just said, no, I'm going to do it this way.
It was heavily layered in sarcasm.
Well, see, I don't know.
A lot to unpack here. First of all, have to talk about, before we get into like the logistics of the argument itself, mm-hmm. Let's talk about the crux of this issue. I'm a little bit on both sides. So why do you think, like, I think most people are like, would agree with David, this is a stupid game about wizards. Why is it so important? So tell me why the rules are so important.
Okay. I'm a board game person. If you look behind you, there is a bookcase mostly full of board games.
Yeah, there are probably like 20 to 30 board games.
Yeah, I host a weekly live stream board game show. And so board games are a big part of my life, and I'm extremely competitive, and I like winning, but it has to be by the book rules. And actually, my interpretation of those cards, I know this is logistics, but I would have taken more damage, and you would have been closer to winning. And so...
But the fact that I was willing to forego that and not give you as much damage. I was just going by convention of what had already been played and also just trying to move.
But I guess that's logistics. If we're talking about the crux of the issue, it was that I didn't want us to have the kind of relationship where we just snap at each other about stupid stuff, because I think that, you know, memories from past relationships and burying feelings, and I wanted never wanted you to say something in that tone to me ever again.
I totally
and
hear
so
that,
that's
but
why
in
I overreacted.
My mind and memory, I didn't really snap. I was like stern and just like,
if only we
this,
had a recording.
Because like Becca was like, you got to do it this way. You got to do it. And I was like, I'm just going to do it this way. And Becca's like, no, this is the way you got to do it. And I'm like, Becca, it's okay. It's fine. I'm just, Mamie already did it this way. I'm going to do it this way. And I was like, no, you should do it this way. He's like, Becca, stop it. I'm going to do it this way. It's already happened. It's done.
It hurts so much to hear you say it
I know. I know. This is it.
Okay. Why does it hurt so much?
Because I don't know. It doesn't matter at all. And it was such a stupid thing to fight about. And also, I was right.
There you go.
That's the thing.
That's okay.
Okay. So here's one thing that's interesting when you were like, it was upsetting because you didn't want him to talk to you like that ever again. I feel like a lot of times, and I'm definitely guilty of this, like you freak out and escalate, make something like way more important than it needs to be, because your brain is like, this is how it's gonna be for the rest of my life, you know?
Totally.
And that is like pretty much never true.
Mm-hmm.
And every person in the world needs to stop doing that.
yeah totally. I mean, it was definitely an overreaction on my part. But still, I wanted him to say sorry first, which he did when people came over to watch Game of Thrones. But I was still upset. And so everybody was waiting to watch Game of Thrones. And then I was like, hold on, pause everything in the opening credits. And I made David come outside and I started crying. And I was like, you were so mean about epic spell wars, until he apologized.
So what had been going on until then? It was this like exchange that we heard about, and then like,
I sat
silence?
Silently,
okay,
as we continued to play the game.
No,
oh,
then
maybe
you,
I quit the game.
No, I think you quit the game. It was
I
the end of the game.
Game.
You only want to play that game after
I
that.
Quit the game.
It was like a big enough
it
thing.
It was awkward.
Of like Becca was like crying and
were you like silently
yelling.
Crying? No, you were yelling.
I think you were yelling at me. maybe. I don't know. I don't remember now.
Yelling and crying. Combination of those.
It was awkward for everybody.
Especially because Amy had just moved in.
It was like just roommates at that point and like a friend. So it was five people total, including us. Yeah. We had two roommates and then maybe one other person was there. Or maybe it was just the four of us. Me, Aragorn, and Amy. That maybe Mel was there. Yeah.
Yeah. It was rough.
You're 100% right. Like you're the rules and stuff, and you don't want me to be snappy at you. And I totally understand that. And I was like I did apologize, but the thing that I just had to concede because you were so much crying was that I felt that you were overreacting in your emotional heightening of what the situation was. And I wanted an apology from you of like, we understand each other. I apologize for the way that I reacted, but I wanted an apology from you of like you, an acknowledgement that you were blew up.
I apologize too. I just wanted you to do it first.
But you didn't apologize. No, I did. When you brought me outside.
You apologized first. And then apologized.
I think you refused to apologize.
No, I did. I apologized.
Okay. I remember you refusing to apologize. I apologize now. Thank you. That's fine. And it's fine.
I overreacted.
You did. You overreacted.
But I remember saying that at the time because I know I'm extremely emotional. I accept that.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to let it out.
That's true. You definitely have to let it out. Yeah. I'm all about attacking and acknowledging problems and emotions as they happen. But then I think that situation and the other one like big fight that we had was about
that one's all in your head,
but no, but it was but both times you were like you reacted very, very strongly to something that I didn't think was
I do that
as big of a deal.
But the other element that I want to mention about this one and any fight is if other people are there, it's so embarrassing, but you also can't help yourself sometimes and you just say something horrible to your partner in front of other people, and you know that the other people in their head are like, oh, this is so awkward.
Yeah,
but there's nothing you can't help yourself.
That's what I want my podcast to be, is if in that moment you could pause and be like, what's going on here?
Yeah, totally. What's happening? Because yeah. because it was just when we were playing the game, it was just the four of us or maybe five of us that were just playing that. And that was like a little bit awkward, but it was still, it's a small group. We like paused it, I guess. And we had a conversation. We definitely stopped playing that game. Or it was like, hey, what about we just play one round instead of the three that, you know, it was like, nobody wanted to play that game anymore.
No.
But then more people came over cause we were watching Game of Thrones and everything was like normal for a hot second. And then like Becca said,
I was fuming inside.
But like at the beginning, it was, hold on a second, 10 people, pause, you know, storming out, and I have to like go follow her, and it's like, okay, this is super awkward. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to have to, ooh. So that was, part of it was just like,
the public element of this fight added to the stress, probably.
For me, for sure. For you?
Well, yeah. Yeah. But more for you.
Yeah, because I was thinking, I was always kind of thinking, yeah, well, like, I don't want Becca to feel bad. I feel bad if I did anything that made her feel that way. But I also felt like you were overreacting. And so I was seeing this from a bunch of people that were there looking at me as, like, the bad guy that did some horrible thing to make her this upset. When in my mind, it was like, oh, I was just doing a rule wrong or whatever. And
how long had you guys been together when this happened?
I don't know, like 7 months or...
It was over a year.
Okay, we're back.
Do you feel like you've ever inspired a breakup by making people confront things that they hadn't confronted before?
Oh, God.
Well, no one has broken up of the episode so far. That's because self-selecting happy, healthy couples.
Right. You don't want that to happen.
Yeah, and like you're not going to come talk about the problems in your relationship unless you're like really very secure, comfortable, and happy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
My point of view on it is if you break up from being on Honey, I did you a favor.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. That's a good point. Do you feel so like, it'll be almost like a celebration the first time that there's a couple that, it works. Like,
yeah.
It's a process that works.
Because you're a little bit of a relationship therapist here.
No.
I mean, really a good therapist just makes you express what you're feeling inside, right?
Yeah. I think of myself as a busybody, not a therapist. And the last episode, I believe, I was one of the members of the couple was a therapist. Oh. Justin was a therapist, listeners, as you know. And so we talked about this a little bit, and like, I don't think I love to talk about feelings and relationships, obviously, always at all times, but I only talk to the happy couples, and therapists only talk to the sad couples.
That's true.
Yeah, interesting.
That's true. That makes sense. So, David.
Well, what was the last question that you asked?
Oh, gosh, I don't remember. Something about it's so high stakes or something. The overreacting. She overreacted.
Mm-hmm.
And that was...
Well, when we were changing batteries, we started talking about how... the reason it's important to talk about these little fights and how, because I asked if we were being boring, and and you said no, this is what it is. This is great.
Yeah.
This is the good stuff, because the little things are what you work on that makes the big thing work.
Right. I started making general analogies about relationships
and being, construction.
And construction. Relationships are very similar to construction. Well, it's something that is there's no cure all.
It's not a one-time fix.
Yeah,
it's
not a one-time figure it out. Like, oh, great, we figured it out. We found something that works.
Yeah, but we did though.
But we did though. But then that's 2 years in. I mean, everybody changes and everybody grows and every relationship changes and grows. And so, as we are only beginning to learn, because we've been married for 7 months and been together for 2 years, but I hope and am planning on, you know, having to continue to have very open conversations about how we deal with any number of things that comes up.
How did I get so lucky? So great. I think if you just put up wallpaper together at least once a year, then you'll always have a strong relationship.
That's true.
We started our day by putting up wallpaper in our bedroom together. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's definitely a two-person task. Yeah. It is not a one-person task.
But at the beginning, on the first couple sheets, we were a little like, no, I need you to do this.
Very much,
but then we figured it out, how to work together, not get in each other's way, but be helpful.
It was a very successful and invigorating experience.
Metaphor. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like putting up wallpaper.
Marriages
are like putting up wallpaper. You gotta figure out how to do it at first, but by the end, you're not even looking at each other.
And then you make out.
Yeah. Okay, here's a question for you guys. So there are three kinds of fights that seem like they're about little things, but like cause huge fights that I hear about. One is driving.
Oh my God, yep.
One is dishes in the sink.
Hmm.
And one is board games.
Oh, weird.
Really?
Yeah, So I figured out that
I thought we were so original with our board game fight.
No. Everybody fights. My parents know a couple who got divorced over a game of Pictionary.
Holy shit. That's awesome. I mean, not awesome, but that's just...
It's Pictionary awesome. Did you a favor.
Yeah. You know? It sure did. It's the awesome power of board games, which just further proves my love for them.
But okay, so here's the thing. The car is like... I think gets so emotional for people because driving a car is like the ultimate metaphor for control.
Yeah.
The dishes, I think it's something to do with like feeling comfortable, something to do with like nourishment and like comfort in the home.
I think it's shared responsibility.
Shared responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's like probably any issue about cohabitation might come out through the dishes. So what do you think it is about board games?
Rules and consideration.
Oh boy. Yeah.
So, you know, in order...
I think it's a power struggle.
You think it's a power struggle? What about the... because I think there can be many different fights that come out in board games. Because there's so many types of games. Sometimes it's about communication. Mm-hmm. If you're not communicating well, if it's a Pictionary or a charades type thing, and you're just not getting it, it's like, well, you don't even know what I'm talking about when I talk about anything. I think there's a lot of different stuff that can come out in board games. For ours specifically, I think it was a rules and respect thing. Was it not? It was, here's the way that this should be done. This is the way that it is, and you're not respecting me.
Then that's control.
By not adhering to the rules as I see it and I know of them.
Well, I know that I'm a little bit of a micromanager.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. But if for me, it seemed to me like that was kind of what it was for you. And for me, it was the opposite, because I was trying to respect the ambiance of the environment, which was everybody's just kind of like goofing around and having a fun time. And so this one specific rule is less important than like keeping the game going and keeping it consistent and flowing.
Sure. I don't see why it can't flow. And yet
if we stop,
I casually respect back, the rules.
Jane. Okay. Yeah.
Cause that's what I do in any board game, is I make sure everybody's abiding by the rules.
That is an important
thing. This is so intense and so much about life. You're like, rules are great, but they just help you flow. But like, most important is the flow. And you're like, no, like most important are the rules. And if the flow gets, I think maybe it is a little bit of a like, you know, that, but is this how it's going to be forever thing? If we break one rule, then what's to stop us from breaking the next rule on the next turn, you know?
I'm going to flip the table over. That's not part of the rules.
Okay, so do you think Amy will talk to us about what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe hear her opinion.
Yeah.
Should we pause it, or should we just...
We'll just... Hey, Amy?
Hey, Amy? You want me to knock on the door?
Knock on the door.
This may be sensitive for her too, so we'll see.
We're gonna be, because it was traumatic for everyone involved.
Are you willing to come be on the podcast real quick and answer a couple questions about a very specific fight that we have? We need a third party objective analysis of the world right now.
She's gonna do
it. She's coming.
Yay! She's not particularly excited to do it, but she will out of a sense of duty.
I love it. Hi.
Hi. Thanks, Amy.
Take my mic.
You.
Okay, you guys share. We can share. Okay, back
so
to we'll share.
We were just talking about when we were playing that game, and we want you to know that we've talked it out. It's no hard feelings or
it's
anything, but Beck and I do have like a little bit of a different record of history about like
what
went
you
down in order and how people.
If it happened on the outside to look like I was just freaking out, you are allowed to say that.
Yeah, but so we were playing a game, and then it was my turn. Go ahead. Yeah, so what happened?
No, here's what I want to know. This is the crux of the issue. Becca says that Dave, when she corrected David on the rules, he freaked out and yelled at her, and that's what upset her. David says that when she corrected him on the rules, he did like a jokey kind of, well, I'm going to do it my way type thing. But it was joking, not yelling. Which was it?
I don't remember.
Oh, man.
I would be lying if I said I remembered that clearly what it was about. I just remember there was a rule that was interpreted differently between you two. And then it blew up into like a very, very mild argument.
Oh, very mild.
Very, very mild.
It felt very mild.
Yeah, great.
They're still upset about it.
Worried that you would think that like we were all going to move out and you'd have to find another place to live or something, because this epic spell was.
No, it like got a little tense, but we like finished the game, I think.
Did we finish the game?
Yeah.
You two are so crazy.
You know what? Yeah, I died in the round, so I left the room, and that's what it was.
You died, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was something that was going to like eliminate you, and so me and Aragorn and you finished
the game.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's there it was.
Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome, yeah. I honestly don't remember what the specifics were.
That is such a funny perspective to have on this.
Yeah. And we'll never know. And it was at best
She said
mild.
It was mild, yeah.
Well, there you go. That was like one of the biggest
and then
fights that we've had.
So, but also you're like, but interestingly, part of what compounded it for you guys was this fact that it was public. And to the public, it was mild.
It was pretty mild.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you something, Red. Because you got engaged so quickly, and like probably most people you talk to are like, that's crazy. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So was there like added stress in that public element of like, we have to making seem like we're so happy and this is the right choice that we made?
Did you ever question it?
Many of my close friends questioned it very adamantly to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that my MO about it was, it's just like a strong decision, but and I felt very good about it, but it was also like, well, I've made the decision, so I'm like going to commit hard to that decision. It's just like a commitment that you just mm-hmm. like, great, I'm doing mm-hmm. this. I got a tattoo. Now I have a tattoo, you know. Right. Yeah. I don't know.
I never once question it, but I think,
but
I
have had, did you feel like was because your friends were
pressured?
Yeah. So is there pressure to seem like you don't fight or that you're so happy?
I think we are so happy. And I think it has to do with the fact that we both do comedy. So we both make each other laugh all the time, that never even crossed my mind, because especially in group settings, hanging out, we just always have so much fun together.
Yeah, a big part of our relationship and what works very well is like goofing around, and that is what is the best wonderful. I mean, we work very well together domestically,
like with wallpaper
and dishes.
Oh, what's your dishes?
Well, I do all the dishes and cleaning,
and I.
But sometimes I'll say, David, those dishes I've pre-washed, put them in the dishwasher as a test, and he does it.
I do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll put dishes in straight in the dishwasher.
Yeah. I think David is the most tidy boy I've ever been around.
Oh.
Yeah.
Pretty tidy.
He's very tidy. Yeah.
Especially like kitchen and living room.
He's my tidy boy. So we cohabitate very well. And I think that was one of the things when we were in the very short time we were dating that we realized, oh, we could live very well together. It was that we both had jars of raw nuts on our countertops, and we were just like, we're meant to be, because yeah. we could combine our raw almonds into one jar together.
That's so crazy. That's a very weird thing to both have. I mean, it's not yeah. a weird thing for one person to have, but when I
totally right yeah. you go to their apartment, you're like, oh my god,
yeah,
yeah,
you and get it.
Becca's tidier and more organized than I am.
It's
but
called
she's,
OCD.
Well, she's the type of OCD that I would like to be. So when she like moves things around, but then puts a label that is like coffee cups, and I'm like, oh great, now I know where the coffee cups go.
Or instead of
being like, oh god, I'm like, awesome, now there's a system. I love systems, and Becca has a lot of systems that she will put up and change, and I think that they're all great. So
well,
when I see
I've
them,
described
I'm like, awesome.
To him how I redid the Tidy filing
boy
cabinet.
And systems girl.
Systems girl.
And systems girl, very, I totally, it's yeah. board games. Totally.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah. But the fact that you appreciate things like that, when I'm like, David, let me show you how I organize this, and you appreciate it,
totally
means so much, and is a very little thing that really makes our relationship work well, because I am so OCD about little things like that.
Yeah,
And if you were like, cool, why would I care that you organize the pots? It would really hurt me deeply, but you do care.
Yeah, well, when I recognize a system that works better than the previous system, which is a lot, the vast majority of Becca's systems that she puts into place, like, oh, hey, let me show you something, and she opens up the cabinet, and like all the glassware is now, there's like, it makes sense where it is and why and what it's next to. It's like, yeah, great,
what's
now
we figured
it out.
What's your best system that you've done?
Ooh, well, this week it was going to IKEA and getting dividers for my drawers. Like the underwear drawer is now separated into different compartments, and it's
based on types of underwear.
My mind is blown when I look at it. I sometimes go up there and just open the drawer and look. but it was making the
glassware one was great.
Yeah, it was, well, for you know, when you get married, everybody that is a friend of your parents or a relative sends you awesome shit from like Crate and Barrel, and you just put it on your website list and they send you all this cool shit. Great reason to get married, guys.
don't encourage people.
And then you know how you just sort of collect. Well, you know, get married, get a bunch of stuff, and then we'll see what happens. But registries. But so we had these nice mugs that all matched. And then you know how you always have a collection of random mugs that sort of represent where you've been or somebody gifted you this?
Yeah.
And
or
I put,
it's a Christmas present from your dry cleaner.
I get so many Christmas presents from my dry cleaner. It's crazy. So I put all the random mugs in one cabinet, and I put all the matching cups in one cabinet. So it's like the display cabinet. And that was my crowning glory, I think.
Cool.
Yeah. And the cabinet where all the random mugs are, it was like this big cabinet. There was a bunch of random crap in there, and we had so many old mugs, but we didn't want to like throw them out. So I was like, great, this is the perfect place for all these random mugs to go. We can still use them because they're on the first level. It's not hard to reach or anything, but now all the nice stuff is all together, and there's a side to each type of glassware. It's great.
But the reason I appreciate it is because I have been with people in the past that will get upset when I move things around.
Becca moves things around almost daily.
Well, yeah, it's a thing I do. Like, it's nesting. It's rearranging furniture. It makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. Whenever I'm sad, I rearrange furniture. Mm-hmm. And some people will say, why? Everything's different. Why is everything different? And they'll be upset by it. But sometimes you just got to embrace change.
And you guys are not going to be like that because you're whimsical.
We're whimsical.
That's true. There's some...
you're so whimsical with your organized underwear drawer.
Exactly. It makes me feel like light inside.
But there will be like furniture will move around maybe on a daily of where it is. And then mostly it is a good move and I'm all about it.
Thank you.
There was the... got rid of my shoe... thing, and at first, because I also am someone that doesn't immediately like change if I think it like works, but it's fine.
This was recent.
I don't miss it.
You don't miss it?
When I first saw that it was gone, I was like, why did you move my shoe rack? I like that shoe rack. And Becca was like, we don't need the shoe rack. Let's get rid of the shoe rack. And I was like, but I use it. It's in my closet.
He doesn't use it.
And then I don't use it. And now I don't use it. And now that it's gone, Becca has this thing that she'll just like take stuff away, and it's good for me because then I can't be a pack rat.
Now you have credibility get rid of anything.
Yes.
You thought you needed it and you don't. So anything she takes away, even if in a moment you think you need it, she knows you don't need it.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I would like to have you around.
Sure. I'll come over.
Okay, trust that for the most part too, of like, there's nothing that I'm so, so tied to that it's like a central...
Whimsical. You guys have to be able to like sail to Thailand on a moment's notice.
Yeah. We are planning a trip to Japan.
Cool.
Yeah. 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 See those cherry blossoms. It'll be so romantic.
Okay. What was the other fight? Because you said this was the one.
Mm-hmm.
Podcast related.
Podcast related. Podcast related.
But I don't see it as a fight.
It was definitely a fight.
I think it was for you, but not for me. So you tell it.
Okay. Well,
why was it a fight for you and not for you?
Because there were like tears shed, and it was like an emotional big.
The time I fell asleep.
Yeah, that's not. What are you talking about?
That was a fight.
Yeah, that was a fight.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was making my third episode of Growing Up.
Growing Up on the What's a Creative Network.
It's incredible.
It out. It's amazing.
It's a really good episode.
New episodes. But this was a one that I. Was like the reason, the story that inspired me to even start a podcast about this really amazing guy that I met and got to know pretty well, who has this incredible story about he's in his 60s and he was a crack cocaine addict for 30 years. And it was only because his daughter was taken away from him that inspired him to sober up and get his life back together to get her back. And about how like his family is the inspiration that keeps him driving, and now he's been sober for a long time and is doing really well. So it was this really amazing story, but it was a really intense edit. Mm-hmm. We had a really nice conversation for like an hour and a half, and then I wanted to shorten it down to like 30 minutes. And I wasn't working at the time. The show that I was working on got canceled, so I had like a bunch of free time on my hands. So I just spent, you know, the better part of an entire week just editing this thing down and it was late one night, and I finally had like a full on edit of this thing done, and I wanted Becca's opinion about it because I hadn't shared it with anybody. I'd just been working on it, and Becca helped me edit.
I did most of the editing on episode 2 while on an airplane.
Yeah, which was amazing and so awesome and helpful. So I wanted to get her opinion about it. And so we sat down to listen. It was very late at night. It's a half an hour episode. I was like, I really want your feedback. Great. And then I played the whole thing. At the end, it turned out Becca was asleep.
But only like the last 5 or 10 or 15 minutes that we'd been listening to.
Like 15 of a half an hour thing. So
look,
I was like,
I'm like basically narcoleptic if it's past 8 p.m.
But so my reaction to that was, fine, whatever, go to bed. I'm just going to finish it.
I felt so sad and guilty that you were upset and I wanted to listen to it. I just fell asleep, but it wasn't like I was trying. I didn't care. I was just tired. And when you're sitting down in a comfortable place, just listening to something.
Right.
And I
was,
you fall asleep.
And I was upset about that. I was just like, well, you should have stayed awake or told me that you were falling asleep. And
but if
I
you're
was,
asleep, what time you was can't it? Say. Like 10 o'clock.
11, 10.
Oh,
11.
Yeah.
Yeah, really late at night.
It wasn't like 3 in the morning or anything. So I was really upset about it. I was just like, fine, whatever. This, you know, you fell asleep. And so I was very just like, I'm okay. I don't want you can listen to it later, whatever. I need to finish it today.
If you hadn't gotten this, we don't fight a lot. So him being mad at me was the worst thing that's ever happened.
Yeah.
That's why I blocked it out, forgot about this
fight. So then Becca's reaction to that was like extremely strong.
Well, I cried a little bit. I could cry sometimes.
Cried a whole
I'm an actress.
Bunch.
It's a skill that I've tapped into, being able to cry.
It's good. You're
and be
very
in touch with when I feel sad.
Yeah, that's important. But I thought that you then like started making me feel bad for being angry at you, and I didn't think that my reaction was at all over the top.
I was just so sad that you were mad at me.
Yeah, that's fair. But then you started putting the blame on me while I just wanted to finish this podcast.
I want to call it like a helpful hint for fighting that I've noticed, but it's like a hard thing to do. Like, don't get mad about anything but the thing. So like, don't get mad that he's mad. You're allowed to fall asleep. He's allowed to be mad that you fell asleep.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. That's her response. That's
no.
what your response was
but
at the time too.
Stop being mad is my response.
But you're not allowed to be mad. And my whole thing was, I'm upset and I'm allowed to be upset. And it's not your fault that you fell asleep, but it hurts my feelings. And I'm allowed to be upset right now.
Well,
and I'm upset, but I don't want to talk about it.
My feelings are hurt that your feelings are hurt.
Well, but then you made it be about me.
I did.
And then you made
me
feel bad. And then I couldn't finish my podcast because then we had to have this conversation and stuff. And then I couldn't finish. Like, I had to stay up super late that night.
This is the point where I admit that David is way more of a grown up than I am.
Yeah. 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 That much is clear.
I know.
Well, thank you, podcast. That is it. I'm dropping the mic and I'm out.
You know what? It's good if now we know that. You
know,
know that.
We've
you
always
know,
known
he's,
that.
He's the grown up. That's good.
That's fine. It's totally fine.
She knows whether you need a shoe rack. You know who's the grown
Everything
up.
Else.
You know, yeah. You know how to fight, probably.
Yeah.
How to, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was our other fight.
That was it.
We've, you know, little things here and there, but nothing crazy. I think that we've done a pretty good job of bringing
disgusting
that stuff.
When we feel upset.
Yeah.
Which you inspired me to do much better.
That's wonderful.
Because, yeah, my rug was like 10 feet off the ground in the
so
past.
So much stuff swept
just
under there.
Keeps putting things.
Yeah,
there's just
yeah.
a table.
And I just don't want to, because it's so easy to do. And then, you know, you see most probably marriages have so many things that, oh, it was like this little teeny thing that we didn't talk about for 10 years. And then now all of a sudden it's this huge wall between people and you can't even bring it up because it's like, well, this was a problem for you for 10 years.
Yeah.
And we never even addressed it. And so, like, I don't think that I'm still the best at this. I think that, you know, trying to terse out and have open communication about anything and everything is super important. But, we got to try to do that.
Yeah, willingness to do that is what counts, not even being good at it.
necessarily, just
yeah,
being willing to try.
And okay, this is why I'm so lucky.
Oh, yeah. I'm lucky too.
Aww. Me.
Oh, we're gonna make out.
We're gonna make out later.
Okay, I'll leave. Thanks for listening to Honey. I'm Julia Meltzer. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Drunk Actress. The show is produced by Ryan Middledorf and Ryan Countshouse. Our cover art is by Allie Monroe, and our theme song is by Aaron and Melissa. Thanks for listening. Bye.
What's a Creative Podcast Network?